Monkshood by Ellis Peters, dramatized for radio by Bert Cools, with Sir Michael Horden as the narrator and Philip Maddock as Brother Cadwyle. Episode 5, Judgment.
It is the year of grace 1138. Brother Cadwyle, journeying into Wales to tend a sick monk, has encountered by chance Edwin Gurney, son of his one-time love, Richilde Spinell. Entreated by her to clear the boy of the charge laid against him, Cadwyle has done all in his power to aid Edwin, only to see the sheriff's men lay hands on him at last.
Sergeant?
Yes, monk?
Tell me this one thing. Did you truly follow me here all the way from Shrewsbury?
You think I rely on methods so crude? You think you alone have brains? Your friend, Hugh Beringer, learned from the Abbey that you'd gone to read a cross-eye. He saw nothing in it, but I bethought me that the land Bonnell was murdered for was close at hand, and rode straight here to see what new trickery you were up to, and see what I found. Now, Gurney,
go with him peaceably, Edwin, and make no trouble. I promise you, you will not be long in prison.
An empty promise. Come along, boy.
Good day to you both. And when you return to Shrewsbury, brother, there'll be more to be said.
Do you believe the promise you made to that boy?
I do. Unless I have completely misread the signs, this matter is nearly at an end. In less than 3 days, all will be known.
What am I to tell my grandson, Myrie, when he returns and finds I have let his guest be taken?
Tell him that he need have no fears for the boy. In the end, truth will out. And the truth will deliver Edwin Gurney.
2 days later, Brother Cadwyle once again absented himself from the Abbey sheepfold and the recuperating Brother Barnabas and journeyed to Llansillen village. The timber church, which at need served also as the courtroom, was full of people, more than 10 times the population of the hamlet. From all parts of the commote had come those with cases to present, evidence to give, and grievances to voice.
This court is now in session. We hear first business adjourned from our last meeting. Will the first petitioner please step forward?
If it please your honour, I am Canvarith ap Nariadoc, and I am bringing suit against my brother-in-law, Yefor ap Robert, in the matter of the ownership of a certain prize pig, stolen from my property 3 months fast this coming...
The day wore slowly away. By mid-afternoon, Cadwyle was beginning to wonder if he had been utterly mistaken in his reading of the probabilities. The final case was heard and judged, and the figure he had so confidently awaited was nowhere to be seen.
And that, I think, concludes the business of this court. Thank you for your orderly conduct and your patience. Any person with business...
Wait!
Or do with?
With court sleeve, I have a plea that will not wait.
We are here to serve. Declare yourself.
My name is Myrick.
And what is your business with this court?
I am the son of Anharad, daughter of Ivar ap Morgan, who is known to all men here. By the same Anharad, I am the son of Gervase Bonnell, who held the manor of Malilly while he lived. Since, under Welsh law, a son is a son, whether born out of wedlock or no. I am here to lay claim to my lily. Will the court hear me?
We must and will hear whoever comes to us. Speak.
First, as to the land. For 3 generations, it has been held by Englishmen. But the land of my lily is Welsh land. I have here sworn statements from men known to all present. They testify that my lily is in Wales, and that cases within it and concerning it have in the past been tried by Welsh law. My lily is Welsh.
Very well. The bench is in agreement. There is no question that the land is within Wales, and subject to Welsh law if any claimant desires it.
Thank you, my lord. Secondly, I declare that I am the son of Gervase Bonnell, his only son, his only child.
But it is known to us that Master Bonnell drew up an agreement to gift the entire manor to the Abbey of Shrewsbury. They too have a claim. Your case must be presented through the proper channels of law. Until then, the matter is unresolvable.
No, There is a provision in Welsh law by which I can take possession even now, before the case is tried. Only a son may do so, but I am the son of this man who is dead. I claim the ancient right of the Danir, the right to uncover my father's half.
It is the court's judgment that your claim is justified. Your right to enter the house cannot be denied you. For form's sake, I must put it to this assembly. If there is any here who has anything to raise in objection to this judgment, let him stand forward now and speak.
Yes. Yes, here is one who has something to say.
Come forward.
My lord.
You?
Yes, my leg, I.
You are a monk of Shrewsbury?
I am.
Are you here to speak on behalf of your abbey?
No. I'm here to speak on behalf of Gervaise Bonnell.
I do not understand you, brother. Explain yourself.
I am a Welshman. I endorse and approve the law of Wales that says a son is a son, in or out of marriage, though English law may call him a bastard. Yes, a son born out of wedlock may inherit, but not a son who has murdered his father, as this one has.
This is ridiculous.
It is a most grave charge. If you are in earnest, you must make good what you have said.
That I will do. I will tell you how this death befell. Of all those present when Master Bonnell was killed, Meirig alone, so it seemed, to me and to all, had nothing to gain from the man's death. But you and I have now seen how much was indeed at stake for him. Let me tell you his story as I see it. Ever since he grew a man, he has been well aware that by Welsh law his position as heir was unassailable, and he was content to wait, like any other son, before claiming his inheritance. Even the will Gervaise Bonnell made after his second marriage did not trouble him. How could the claim of a stepson stand against his right as a true son of the man's blood? But it was a different case when his father granted his manor away to the abbey. Such arrangements sweep aside all other claims, however strong. I truly believe that if that agreement had been completed and sealed at once, this man would have grown reconciled to his loss and never become a murderer. But there was a delay. And that delay gave Meirig time to hope again. I tell you of my own witness that it was mere chance arising from an act of pure kindness that showed him where to find the means to kill and tempted him to use it. A great pity it is, for he was never meant to be a murderer. But here he stands in his guilt and must not and cannot enter into possession of the fruit of his crime.
Young man, you have heard and understood what is charged against you?
Yes.
Do you wish now to answer?
I have nothing to answer. This is mere words. There is no proof.
Yes, there is.
What is this proof?
Whoever took away a portion of my monkshood oil from our infirmary must have brought with him a bottle in which to put it. And that bottle he had to conceal afterwards as long as he was observed, then dispose of as soon as he might.
More words. This bottle has not been found, or we should have known about it from the sheriff's men.
Yes, it has been found.
No! How do we know he speaks the truth?
Here it is. It was found in the ice of the mill pond, under the window of the inner room of that house.
That's your proof. All of us went in and out of that room.
Let me see that bottle. Thank you.
Be careful. Let no trace of the dried oil come near your lips or your tongue. It's still deadly.
Indeed.
Draw out the stopper, my lord. Note the odour. Even after 8 days, it's still strong enough to be recognised again.
It is most distinctive.
You see, too, how the contents have run down the outside of the vial? It was stoppered in haste after the act, then quickly thrust out of sight.
What point are you making, brother?
This point. That oil would have left a greasy stain not easy to remove, and the smell would linger many days. Meirig, the scrip at your belt, you were wearing it that day. Let the judge examine it.
No. Why should I submit to this? He's the abbey's man, sent to besmirch my claim.
There can be no suspicion that this court has anything to gain by discrediting you. Give me the script.
No!
Take it from me.
Get out of my way!
Stop that man! Stop it!
That was not a confession. But it is testimony that will help a boy now in prison for this crime.
He shall be pursued. And the record of this court and this vital evidence shall be sent to Shrewsbury. Will that content you, brother?
It's all I ask. Send to Hugh Beringer, the sheriff's deputy.
Will you accompany the report and tell him this story at first hand?
I wish I might. But I fear that my work here is not yet over.
You're back in good time, brother. Did God prosper your business?
He did, Brother Simon. And now it must be your turn to rest. Leave the evening's work to me.
Supper first?
Then supper first. And welcome. They will still be light enough afterwards to bring down the ewes to the barn. Come, brothers.
There was indeed still a muted half-light. The east, a clear, deep blueness. The west, a pallid glow. When Cadvile went out to climb the nearer crest and bring down the ewes, already heavy with lamb. They were few, but precious. Cadvile took a last look at the sky, immense and lofty, a very deep blue with the first faint dappling of stars. Then he began slowly to descend the hill, leading his charges back to their barn, to shelter and warmth and safety.
I know. Pedra Runfeg, he gain. Ilknan, Lanti. Come on, then. Iner again. Doer again. Good. There you are, then. Safe and snug for the night. More pampered than Prior Robert himself, you are. Quite likely more deserving, too. Though I wouldn't care to tell him so to his face.
Remain perfectly still. Make no sound, or it will be your last. Do you understand me?
I've had knives at my throat before this. I'm not such a fool as to provoke their owners into malice or fright.
What manner of monk are you? Did you think when you destroyed me, brother, that I would go into the dark alone?
I've been expecting you, Myrick. I suggest you close the door.
You think me a fool?
I won't try to escape. Close the door. You and I have no need now of witnesses.
No. No need of witnesses. My business is with you alone, monk. Very well. There's no other way out.
And I have not moved, as I pledged.
You have branded me murderer. Why should I draw back now from murder? You have ruined me, shamed me, made me a reproach to my own kin, taken from me my birthright, my land, my good name, everything that made my existence worth calling a life. I will have your life in recompense. I cannot live now. I cannot even die until I have been your death, Brother Cadwell.
Meirig came towards him. His face was fixed and grey, his eyes sunken deep into his head and burning with frenzy and pain. He advanced the knife slowly until the point pricked Cadwell's throat. Along 8 inches of steel, they eyed each other.
Why aren't you afraid of death?
I've brushed elbows with him before. We respect each other. In any case, there's no evading him forever. We all come to it, Merrick. Gervaise Bunnell. You. I. We all have to die. But we do not have to kill. Here I am. As you willed it. Take what you want of me.
No! No! Oh, God, that I could so face my own death. For I owe it. I owe it and dare not pay. If only I were clean again. Oh, my lily!
Yes. Very fair place. Yet there is a world outside it.
Not for me. Not for me. I am forfeit. Give me up. Help me. Help me be fit to die.
Is that what you truly desire?
Brother, those things you said of me, never meant to be a murderer, you said.
Haven't you just proved it? I live. And it wasn't fear that stayed your hand.
Sir Cadfael, you have been conscience to other men in your time. For God's sake, do as much for me. Hear me all my evil.
Child, I'm not a priest. I cannot give absolution.
Hear my confession. Then deliver me to my penalty, and I will not complain.
Speak then, if it gives you ease.
Before God, I went to the infirmary with no ill thought. I wanted only to see the old man, to bring him pleasure. And by pure chance I learned of the oil and its deadly power. And the thought, it grew in me, the thought that here, in my hands, was a means of stopping him, giving away my land, my birthright. The second time I went there, I took the bottle with me and filled it. But it was still only a mad dream. Yet I took it with me to his house that last day. I told myself it would be easy to put it in his mead or mull him some wine, anything. And still I might never have done it. But when I came to the house, they were all in the inner room together. And I heard Aldith saying how the prior had sent a dish from his own table, a dainty to please my father. And there it was, simmering on the hob. The thing was done before I knew I meant to do it.
Aldith told me that she was in the kitchen when you arrived at the house.
She spoke the truth as she knew it. The deed made me cunning. I heard her and Aelfric coming back from the table, and I just had time to hide the vial in my scrip and step outside the door again. I was scraping my shoes clean as they came into the kitchen.
Then you joined them for the meal?
Yes.
You sat there with a poisoned bottle at your belt, knowing that in the very next room, your father would shortly eat the dish you had tainted.
A score of times in the next hour I wished it undone. God only knows how I wished it undone. But such things cannot be undone, and I am damned. Now, deliver me up, and let me pay for his death with mine, as is due. I will go with you willingly, if you will wish me peace.
Surely one death is enough. What profit in a second?
Brother?
God knows other ways of balancing the scale. You asked your penance of me, Meirig. Do you still ask it? And will you bear it and keep faith, no matter how terrible it may be?
I will, and be grateful.
You want no easy penalty?
I want all my due. How else can I find peace?
Very well. You came for my life, but you could not take it. Now you lay your life in my hands, and I find that I cannot take it either.
But...
You want to pay in full. Pay, then. Yours is a lifelong penance, Meirig. I rule that you shall live out your life, and may it be long, and pay back all your debts by having regard to those who inhabit this world with you. The tale of your good may yet outweigh 1,000 times the tale of your evil. This is the penance I lay on you.
You mean it? This is what I must do?
This is what you must do. Live. Amend. In your dealings with sinners, remember your own frailty. And in your dealings with the innocent, respect and use your own strength in their service. Do as well as you can, and leave the rest to God. How much more can saints do?
And this is all? All you ask of me?
You will find it heavy enough. But no, there is one thing more. When you are well clear, Make your confession to a priest. Ask him to write it down and have it sent to the sheriff at Shrewsbury. What passed today at the court will free Edwin, but I would not have any doubt or shadow left on him.
Neither would I. I like the boy well. It shall be done.
Here. Take your knife again. You need it to cut your bread and hunt your meat.
This is not how I ever imagined it would end. I feel as though I have been drowned and brought back to life again.
Come, my friend. You have a long pilgrimage to go.
It was a good Christmas. He had never known one more firelit and serene, and he would not have exchanged the simple outdoor labour for the comparative luxury of the abbey. By 3 days after the feast, Brother Barnabas was fully restored to health, and Brother Simon to happiness. And so Cadwyl mounted his mule and set out southwards for Shrewsbury. It was dusk when the patient animal came at last to the gatehouse of the abbey, and to an unaccustomed scene of excitement and bustle and noise.
Easy, boy. I don't know what all this is about either.
Cadwyl!
Mark!
Cadwyl, what joy to see you! And I thought you'd miss everything. Oh, you're so welcome home again.
Well, so I see, if all this reception is for me.
Well, mine is, but this is... Oh, of course you won't have heard yet. Oh, no. We're all waiting for Abbot Heribert. The message came that he'll be here at any moment.
Well, what's the news? Is it still Abbot Heribert?
There's no news. Just the bald message to expect him and his party. Everybody's afraid of the worst. Brother Petrus is muttering awful things into his ovens. Jerome is unbearable. And as for Prior Robert, well, I've
watch
never...
Watch your tongue, my friend. There he is.
Look at him. All ready to welcome back Abbot Heribert and accept his post from him all in the same breath. Here he is.
Doesn't look to you like a man crushed by demotion?
No. Rather like one who has come to peace. Do you know the man riding with him?
No. A new brother, perhaps. Shut
up. Father Abbot, you are most heartily welcome home. I rejoice to see you back among us, and I trust blessed and confirmed in office as our superior as before.
Indeed, Brother Robert, I'm happy to be back with you. But no, I must inform all here that I am no longer their abbot, only their brother. It has been judged best that another should have charge.
No, Cadwyl, look at Robert.
Beloved brother...
I present to you all Father Rodolphus, appointed by the Legatine Council to have rule here in our abbey as from this day. Receive your new abbot and reverence him, as I, Brother Heribert of this house, have already learned to do.
Well, Mark, look at Robert now.
And to you, Father Adolphus, I make known Brother Robert Pennant, who has been an exemplary support to me as prior, and who I am sure will serve you with the same selfless devotion.
Welcome to Shrewsbury, my Lord Abbot.
Oh, it was beautiful, Hugh. The words chosen with exquisite care, the moment truly savored. Heribert was a long-suffering soul, but he took a small revenge today. Yeah.
Thank you. Your health.
Hedda. Mm.
Oh, by the way, this afternoon I got word that a rider who gave no name came of late into the monastery of Bergellet and there left his horse.
Indeed?
Yes. He asked that it be returned to the Benedictine sheepfold at Ridi Croesi, from where it had been borrowed.
Borrowed?
So he said. Mm. And he left something else besides. A full account of his part in the poisoning of Master Gervase Bernal.
So, Edwin is now completely cleared. Thank God.
Indeed. It's over. And as cleanly as we could have hoped. Documented and done with. And the cost might well have been higher.
True enough. Hugh, you said it was a full account.
And so it was. Everything that happened on the day of the murder. No details of anything that might have passed after that. I'm going. Every time I come near you, I find myself compounding a felony.
Good night, Cadwell.
Good night, my friend, Nostar. Thank you for all.
The thanks are mine. Nostar.
Good day to you, Brother Cadwell.
Edwin, God be with you.
I've come to say thank you for all you did. I and my mother and our whole household stand deeply in your debt.
I did nothing but what I must. But your thanks are welcome, and I thank you in return. What's the meaning of all this ceremonial finery? Such apparel can hardly be for my benefit.
The new Lord Abbot sent for me.
Ah, and what did you think of Abbot Delphus?
He was very fair, but I'm not sure I'd like to be a novice here. He said that the manor clearly can't belong to the abbey, the agreement is void, and if the will is proven, Malilly will be mine. Until I'm of age, I'm to have a steward there to manage it, and we are to return there to live, my mother and I, as soon as we wish.
Indeed. Well, that is very good.
Brother Cadwell, it was a terrible thing about Myrig. Mm-hmm. Hard to understand. I liked him.
Oh, so did I, Edwin.
There's something I told the Lord Abbot.
Oh, yes?
And I want to tell you as well. I don't like it. I never liked it that my stepfather forced Elfric into serfdom when he'd been born a free man. The Abbot said it was up to me now, so I'm going to make Elfric free again.
Well, that is no more than I expected of you. And I'm glad indeed to hear it.
And I think that he and Aldith...
Your insight befits the Lord of a manor.
I'm not yet. Elfric has his letters, did you know that? And he knows Malilly well. I think he would make a splendid steward.
Now that is more than I expected, but it's a fine idea and a wise decision.
Thank you. I have to get back home now, but there is one more thing.
What is it?
Will you come and see my mother before we leave? She begs you.
I will surely.
Cadwell turned back into his workshop and barred the door against all the rest of the world, even Brother Mark. It was very quiet in there, and very calm. A home within a home to him now, and all he wanted. He put his feet up comfortably, and thought about Rishildis, and about the past, and about the wisdom of going back. But how could he have made any other reply to Edwin's plea? He would go, and he would enjoy the visit. And in a week or two, after all, the entire household would be removing to Melilly. All those safe miles away. He was not likely to see much of her after that. Brother Cadwell heaved a deep sigh that might have been of regret, but might equally well have been of relief. Ah, well. Perhaps it was all for the best.
Monkshood was written by Ellis Peters and dramatised for radio by Bert Cools. The narrator was Sir Michael Horden. Brother Cadwell was played by Philip Maddock, Sergeant William Warden by Ian Hogg, Ivor ap Morgan and Brother Simon by Michael Turner, Edwin Gurney by Richard Pierce, Brother Barnabas by Terence Edmund, The Judge by Norman Jones, Myrig by Kenneth Price, Hugh Beringer by Alan Barker, Brother Mark by Ian Target, Prior Robert by Geoffrey Whitehead, and Father Heribert